services, Lavazzi at boom1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 235. I'm Adam, and who invented this room? And here's Debbie Melrose.
Too slow. No point in him catching us both.
Matthew Kressel.
Well, here we go again.
Mary Lang.
Door, boring. Not me. Window, me.
Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Shut up, I was talking to the horse.
Isabella Pearson. Come on, quickly.
You've all developed a fault.
And... Reese Parton!
Hello.
This is your power source, and feeble though it is, I can use it to blow the room if I see one thing I don't like. And that includes karaoke and mime, so take no chances.
So well prepared, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Welcome back, everybody, especially Matthew and Reese. Rather full room at the moment. I don't know if you're going to get a word in edgeways, Isabella.
Anyway, should do all right.
Yes, I'm just waiting for this, because it's trying to do... what's this thing called again? iPlayer and Skype at the same time, so I think it might struggle.
Yeah, that's where the Macs aren't brilliant.
What do you mean?
Mac? The Mac gives you a problem?
It's pretty impossible from my experience.
Right, so at the beginning of the episode, a oversized T-Rex, ridiculously oversized T-Rex. In fact, so oversized that it sort of stood out like a sore TARDIS in the throat. Now, it's funny, let me finish my sentence. It's funny, I was calling it deep throat, breath, when the TARDIS got lodged in its throat, so I deserve a slap on the back for that.
Thank premonition now, honestly.
Yes, go on in, Kirby.
Master. Yes. If anyone wants an idea of how oversized it is, I have created a convenient chart and post it on podcast Facebook group.
Yes, you didn't actually need to do that because it was so blatantly obviously. If you've watched Jurassic Park, it's only just twice the side of a toilet.
Jurassic Park is a very reliable source.
Master. Speaking of Jurassic Park, unfortunately, Sir Richard Attenborough died yesterday.
Well, again, I linked that in really, really well. Yes, indeed. Yes, it's very sad. But apparently, it was a rumour to start off with, then it became true. So that's a bit strange.
So he was killed by a rumour?
I don't know. I just heard that somebody posted, this was a rumour, and then it's actually turned out to be true. So there's also a rumour going around that Jenna Coleman's leaving Doctor Who. So let's hope that doesn't actually happen.
I passed Sir Richard Attenborough on the street once.
Did you?
And nodded at him, and he nodded back at me.
Was he trying to headbutt you?
No. We were running paperwork for our oldest daughter's adoption, and my wife and I were in downtown Chicago, and we were passing by this one building that was surrounded by all these, I guess you would call them caravans or something. They were the campers that they use for offices for filming movies.
Trailers.
And we saw this older man walking down the street wearing a bathrobe, and it was like noon. and we walked past him, and he nodded at us. We nodded back at him, and then as we passed him, my wife turned to me and said, "That was Sir Richard Attenborough. He was there filming the remake of Miracle on 34th Street.
Oh, excellent.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. What a great story. Nothing to do with Doctor Who, but we'll let you off on that one because it's a really great story.
I served Celia and Mary in the post office yesterday. There you go.
I asked Celia to come on the show and she said yes and then disappeared off the Isle of Wight for 6 months. Anyway, right, so the TARDIS, meanwhile, has landed on the banks of the River Thames, which rather reminds
me
of Dalek invasion of Earth.
Yeah, a bit unexpected.
Yeah. Yes.
I expected it.
Did you? Why? Because you watched the leaked episode.
Maybe.
You may very well think that, but I don't think he could possibly comment.
Well, somebody was talking about the leaked episode. Somebody was doing comparison clips, the differences yes. between the leaked one and the final finished one, which rather illustrates the point is no point watching leaked episodes. Wait until it comes out on the telly, or indeed, in this instance, the cinema.
Other than the fact that the leaked episode was in black and white and had writing all over it, as far as the story and everything, they're exactly the same.
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah,
I think...
it didn't have all of the effects and all of the music. In fact, at one point, it was actually using music from Hans Zimmer's The Dark Knight at one point.
Yeah.
Pointless.
And no, I have not seen all the leaked episodes.
But anyway, these scenes down by the River Thames do look really good. You do feel like you're there. Mm. You're thinking, God, the smell must have been terrible.
Because it would have, wouldn't it?
Of course, where the Doctor later in the story jumps into the Thames, that's why he stinks about it.
Yeah.
It's funny that, obviously, where the TARDIS is spat out by the T-Rex and it lands with a great big thump. It doesn't bounce. Probably landed on sand, I suppose, but it just sort of lands. And it's just ruffled Clara's hair a little bit. I thought they'd been...
Well, it's fallen greater heights without any issues.
I know, so's the Doctor.
You're inside.
But are we sure that's Clara? Because as the Doctor says, you can't jump to conclusions.
No.
Oh, very good, yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then, anyway, the Doctor faints rather spectacularly, and then we're led into the title sequence.
Which looked very nice.
I like the title
indeed.
Sequence. Yeah.
I didn't like the music. I quite like
it. I actually prefer the fan-made one over this one.
I haven't seen the fan-made one.
Yeah.
The fan-made one is very good.
Yeah, it's really good.
I'll have to look at it. Actually, Kirby, that's a little job for you. Find the link, post it on the 20 megabyte site so I can see it.
I believe it's already been posted.
It's been posted about 20 times.
Well, don't do that then. Forget that one. I'll see if I can find it.
I'll see if I can find it real quick.
Yeah, Master.
Yes. Some people have online have complained about the new theme tune. I didn't have any problems with it.
No. Okay.
Yeah, well, it's back to the synthesizer sound.
Did you say you did, Reese?
I did. It just felt really flat compared to the other ones.
I agree with Reese.
I thought it was quite similar. It was just like a remix, really, of the previous one.
I know, but it doesn't have the excitement and that rich sound.
I was sitting here last night watching it again, and... I was getting chills because it was...
Were they multiplying?
It was Doctor Who.
Anyway, so the Doctor, meanwhile, has been trapped in a room. He makes some very funny
it's
comments
just a
about
room
it.
For not being awakened.
Talk about funny comments. I'd like to go through my other saved quotes from the thing.
Don't look in that mirror. It's absolutely furious.
On this show, you have to do loads of quotes. So here we go again was one. Then it was obvious. I think somebody did that one, didn't they?
Yeah.
Who invented this room, which is one from this scene, which I really like.
Oh, yeah.
You've all developed
a
fault.
That was a great scene.
Might as well flirt with a mountain range, which I quite liked.
Yes.
Door boring, not me.
I love the fact that Niamh gets to use her actual voice to talk to the Doctor to calm him down, because she puts it's her accent, the Scottish accent.
Oh, cool.
Yes, yeah, I thought she was Irish.
No,
yes.
No, she's Scottish.
Yes,
no, she's Scottish.
Oh, I thought Niamh was an Irish name.
Jeff Waddle's very happy.
Was he? Well, he was very happy, and then he wasn't very happy.
And the Doctor himself comments on it because he says, "Oh, you all sound so English," but then he's really happy to talk to her because she has the Scottish accent.
Yeah, I've got no issues with the Scottish accent simply because.
And another great line from that scene was talking about, "Oh, I don't bother with sleeping. I take standing up power naps. How do you do that? When other people start talking, I like to jump to my bit."
Another great line from that scene is, "I love monkeys. They're so funny."
It literally just came up on the screen as you were saying.
That was really spooky.
Men are monkeys. People are apes.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, Jenny. Gosh, she was really gorgeous in this episode, wasn't she? I think they should turn her at some point into a proper full-time companion because she's that lovely. Anyway, right, moving on.
Just because she liked her posing.
I don't think they could do. She's so attached to Vastra, I don't think she ever probably would. Unless Vastra became a full-time companion. But imagine having to put your makeup on for every single scene like that. Anyway, was somebody about to say something in between my ramblings?
I did just post the link in the conversation thing onto the original version on YouTube of the credit sequence.
Well, post it on 20 megabyte.
All right, I'll do that then.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. Anyway, the Doctor, meanwhile, I like this scene when he's sort of unconscious, but he's sort of translating what the dinosaurs say.
Yes.
Now,
there was a similarity between this, obviously not apart from the obvious similarity of the dinosaurs and the spaceship, but when you start falling in love with the dinosaur and they kill it off.
I did like the Hollow Man.
With Christmas Invasion-y as well, with him being in bed.
Mm.
Yeah, that's the
and
house
there's
sort
of a wintry air to all the people wandering around in traditional garb, and it looks almost Christmassy, doesn't it?
Which is nice because they're not doing it at Christmas, which is what they sort of stereotypically do. But it also reminded me, talking of Christmas, of the, you know, I know it's a different time frame, but the somebody's tapping on the keyboard.
sorry. My cheap $10 Walmart microphone died the other day while we were recording Stories from the Vortex. So I'm having to use the inbuilt microphone
on the
laptop.
It's not too bad at all. But yeah, it reminded me a little bit of the house in The Doctor, Witch and Doctor, the Widow and the Wardrobe. Where did I get the witch from?
I hated that one. I hated that one.
Yeah, so did
Kirby,
I.
Kirby, don't go there. Don't go there.
Don't we
all? It's all right. Don't worry.
Actually, go back and listen to our podcast. We were trying to be nice to it at the time.
Yeah. Quite enjoyed it.
That's funny.
I think the recent DWM poll, it was the Christmas special that ranked towards the bottom, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm. I believe so, yes.
Anyway, so meanwhile, Vastra is having a heart-to-heart with Clara, another pretty good little scene, because Clara sort of can't quite get her head around the change of the Doctor. Now, that thing I couldn't get my head around, because bearing in mind Clara's met all of the incarnations of the Doctor to a certain degree.
That bothered me.
You would have thought that would be quite comfortable in her mind about that it's the same person.
It's established in Day of the Doctor when she comes into the cell in the Tower of London where they're all at.
Mm.
And he introduces her to John Hurt and David Tennant and goes, you've met them briefly, remember? She goes, kind of, sort of.
Yeah.
The implication being she doesn't remember a whole lot of having encountered everybody.
Okay. But there's some...
And maybe she thought they'd age naturally because he's instantly gone to looking older.
Yeah, and it also made me think quite a lot of the John Hurt Doctor, Mr. Grumpy, because this Doctor seems to come across a little bit like that. But I don't mind it. Obviously, we got to get to know him as well.
Well, obviously, it's his regeneration episode. Yeah, there was a lot of whinging about that from people.
I never do like... Well, they have to do it, but I never do like these parts of the first episode where the Doctor's not quite all there.
No.
I didn't do too bad with this one. They did get him settled down fairly quickly. It was about 20.
At least he didn't strangle anybody this time.
Yeah.
And we got a lot of good quotes out of him.
And this the quote where he says, the door or window, don't do doors, and he jumps out the window, which is really good. And obviously,
he talks about his attack eyebrows.
Yes. And also, people were sort of worried about him being quite old, and but he's very action packed, isn't he?
I was really impressed. Yeah. Everybody expected him to be, you know, the armchair cerebral doctor, but
he's climbing across the rooftops in his nightdress.
This is quite a moving scene, isn't it?
Oi, big sexy woman!
Yes.
You can hear that in Glasgow on a Friday night.
And of course, he says, I'll save you, and then I'll send you back or whatever. And then
I promise I'll get you home.
Yeah. And you know, as soon as he says promise, the Doctor and his promises.
I'm sorry, my time machine got stuck in your throat. It happens.
This scene, because it's supposed to be in London, but I just saw Penarth in the background there. It did look like Wales, unfortunately. Mm. But I know a lot of it was done in London, wasn't
it? Poor T-Rex.
Yeah, it must have been a bit smelly. Yeah. The burning, combusting flesh.
And
must have made a lot of the Londoners quite hungry, because it would have looked like, smelled probably like cooking steak. Wouldn't it, Lisa Isabella?
Feed the populace.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. What does burning reptiles smell like?
I'm sure somebody probably eats.
There's a dead slow worm in my garden. That could be really good.
Dead
slow worm? The cat's decided
probably
to try and bring
like
it in.
Chicken.
Probably, I've had frogs, so frog's legs taste a bit like chicken, just very
they
stringy.
They do, actually, yes, but they're amphibians, not reptiles.
Yes, I know, sorry.
Yeah, so... I'm just trying to find the next bit. Stop flapping that balloon around.
There's been a lot of silliness on heading towards the end of the episode, you know, when Vasta basically kisses Jenny. And there's been a lot of brouhaha about that because it's sharing breath, but yeah, it was like, oh,
well,
no,
the doctor did that to Sarah.
Yeah, it's like
no,
they're married, you know. And but there's been a hell of a lot on the forums about, you know, people overlooking the horror
really
of
matter?
The androids, you know.
Does it matter?
You know, no, it doesn't.
No.
I've seen people comment about it on forums, but I haven't seen people object.
No, there's been a few.
Most people have been going, there's no problem with that, so
yeah. I didn't see it as a kiss. I saw it as a sharing breath. Yeah. Although obviously they would kiss.
Well, even if it was a kiss, there'd be no problem with it.
Time of day it was, but this day and age, I don't think children should
be brought back
that,
into our century. Really,
yeah,
don't they?
That disturbed by a kiss. Were you disturbed by? No. You're a child, aren't you? Last time I looked, did we get that balloon out?
Isabella.
Were you disturbed by Vastra and Jenny's kiss? You nodded. What was wrong with it? Have leaned towards the microphone. What did you find disturbing about Vastra and Jenny kissing?
Weird.
It was weird. What was weird about it? Come on.
What else? Wrong? Heavy breathing. What else? Come on. Why was it weird, sweetheart?
Because a girl kissed a girl and it was...
Good, silly, isn't it? It's a bit silly.
Okay, if you say so. There we are, there's contrary opinions, obviously, here on the show, as per usual. But never mind, thank you.
When's that changed?
I do love Strax. It's just so funny.
Oh, yes.
When he examines Clara,
good speed.
Looks into her mind.
You didn't open your mouth. Yeah, I'm looking my mouth.
Yes.
Isn't that device that Strax uses the result of a Blue Peter competition?
Could well be.
Yes, but, it is.
It's an excellent thinking of invention. Look, I'm going to get rather cross with you in a minute.
Sorry.
I've asked you to stop fiddling around with that balloon. She's got a McDonald's balloon, which is flat at the moment. She's blowing it up, stretching it out, chewing it.
No.
Yes, you do.
No, I just blow it up.
Yeah, well, don't. It makes farting noises.
Just before that scene where Strax was scanning Clara, I loved it outside when he says, "Soon the Doctor will come and get his TARDIS and we will melt him with acid."
We won't melt him with acid.
Old habits.
Yes. Meanwhile, the Doctor sort of made friends with a tramp after his little swim in the Thames.
Shall I send the paper up?
Not just a tramp.
Yeah, go on.
That's not any tramp. That's Sarah Jane's husband tramp.
Oh, is it? Oh, it's different with the makeup on. Yes. Well done, Kirby. Oh, that's nice to bring him into it, isn't it, Debbie?
That is very nice, yes.
Ryan Miller making his second on-screen appearance in Doctor Who and his third if you include him doing Dalek voices in Resurrection of the Daleks.
So now, Matthew, you're going to tell me the other appearances in Doctor Who, aren't you?
Plus, hasn't he been on some Big Finish?
He's done some Big Finish as well. I was thinking on-screen Doctor Who. I'm trying to remember some of his Big Finish stuff. But he was the megaphone man in Snake Dance.
Oh,
was
the Peter Davison story a long time ago.
I know he was in Sarah Jane Adventures, wasn't he?
Yes, he was in one Sarah Jane Adventures. Yeah,
the one that Bradley Walker was in.
And the one where she was the mad woman in the attic.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
He's very good. I enjoyed him as the tramp.
It was good. It's nice to
Yes.
It's also a very nice scene because the Doctor's sort of starting to become himself in this scene, which is nice for him to be part of that scene. And I do like that. Some of these scenes you could lose, really, couldn't you? You don't really need them, but they're just nice to have in there.
The air is all bitey. I like that.
Yes. Yeah.
That's a good description of Cole.
Yeah.
So crying today, isn't it? Horrible out there today.
My week off work and it rains.
Yeah, I'm off for this week as well. I'm supposed to be going on holiday.
So the Doctor finds a newspaper on the floor and then we find that there's been a few cases of
spontaneous
combustion. Hey,
sorry.
What are we supposed to say when you say things at the same time? Lauren Hardy's do, isn't it? They just a little rhyme.
Jinx.
Jinx is
Ditto.
An American one.
Oh, there you go. There's Jenny posing.
Oh,
there you go, everybody. Gratuitous
scenes. Especially when you get the front view in a minute. There we go. Flipping out. Hey, Reese. Yeah, uh-huh. Gorgeous. Uh-huh.
I love the fact she's supposed to look like she's painting. I mean, you knew she was busy thinking something out, but yeah, just perving. Yeah.
Which is nice, because that's what
when Clara comes in,
yes.
Pop your clothes on the couch.
Get your clothes off.
Pop them on the couch over there.
Yeah. We did miss the line from the doctor about when he discovered that he's Scottish, and he goes, "Oh, I'm Scottish. I could complain about things."
Yes.
No, that was going to be one of my quotes, but I didn't want to upset Jeff.
I don't know, but I can blame it on the English.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So meanwhile, I say, Clara's changed into more or less the costume she was wearing in... one of her first appearances as Clara, which was the Christmas one, which I forget the title. Snowman.
Did like the newspaper trick there with the message.
Yeah, Master.
Yes.
The whole newspaper trick. Clever or obvious?
I don't know.
Both.
Yeah. Both.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't see it at first, and when Julia was watching it with me, she saw it immediately.
The
idea of the fact what it meant on the other side.
No, I didn't see it. I didn't
pick clever
up
to men, obvious to women. That's what it is.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Reese. Yeah.
Creep.
Did anyone get who put the advert in?
No.
Missy.
Well, it had to be Missy.
It's Missy at the end, yeah. But,
okay.
But no, I didn't get that.
We'll discuss Missy, I'm sure, when we get to the end.
Oh, I'm sure.
Anyway, moving on. So the Doctor and Clara meet up in the restaurant. I don't know. No, but I like the fact that when they first set this scene, the camera pans around. You see the people sat there, but they look quite normal because of the lighting. But as soon as things go a bit sinister, they change the lighting, and then you realise that they're... Yeah. But if you actually see that scene, they are sitting there looking exactly the same. It's just that the lighting changes too.
You start to hear the grinding of their...
The clockwork noise actually through the entire scene.
Yeah, I mean, the clockwork sound effect, obviously, instantly I realised there was a connection to this and its predecessing episode, which was the Girl in the Fireplace. Even though they had flesh on them. But even then, there was a flesh connection.
That was my dad's favourite episode, The Girl in the Fireplace. Yeah. I'm seeing him next weekend. I'm going to sit down with him and watch the next episode of this series.
Yeah. It's a shame. But, I mean, they were... Obviously, the clockwork technology you did see in this was very nice. But those actual robots were so pretty, weren't they? Would have nice to seen one of the robots in that episode come back. But I suppose...
Anyway, moving on.
Well, the implication is they've been on Earth for millions of years. So presumably the technology, to a certain extent, has moved on since then. In fact, the Doctor makes the whole point of it. Using the whole broom analogy, you change the head of the broom, you change the handle, is it the same broom anymore?
Yeah, that's an excellent analogy, yes. Yeah. But one thing I didn't like was the fact that they're supposed to be clockwork, yet he was being charged up in that chair, wasn't he?
Yeah. Well, he said, as you said again, you know, you've replaced so many parts, you're not yourself. So, yeah, they could do anything, basically.
Well, and I wonder, why is it every other character in this restaurant has a complete face, but the guy who's in charge of them all never has a complete face? Why is that?
Yeah, that doesn't make sense either. But
he looks more sinister.
It's like the Davros thing, isn't it?
Yeah. And Davros is only half a Dalek. Yeah. I think it's because they're all just puppets, whereas he's the real deal or something like that. You know, he has to retain some of it to be able to keep control. And,
but I can't deny it did look.
And you can ramp up the tension during the scene between him and Clara when it keeps cutting back to the gear. And whatnot moving in his head.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I've got
where he's sitting there thinking things over.
Yeah, we've gone past the scene, but the scene when Clara's sitting in the restaurant on her own and she sort of detects the smell of the Doctor.
Really yes, yeah. Very well played. Yeah.
It's everywhere.
This is where they try to get away. Nobody stands up. And that's another thing, right? They've got to hold their breath before they get caught by these things. But they're sat there having a chat for ages before they realise. And then suddenly they've got to hold their breath. So why, at this stage, it was a bit of a contradiction to...
Well, they did go to... They're made to leave and then, you know...
Yeah.
The robot stood up to stop them, so... Yeah.
But I've got a major problem. It's just a little slight issue with the fact that at this stage they're all right. They can breathe quite comfortably.
Well, the way you get the significance of the hair dropping.
What's the significance of it? That was to show there's no draft. But there would have been because the Doctor and Clara were breathing.
Yeah, they were breathing. Mm. So I didn't understand why that was so. significant to the Doctor that the hair would drop.
I think the reason for that, Mary, is that the Director realised he was able to focus in on a bit of hair and thought, I've got to be able to use that because it looked really, really cool on camera. So.
Well thought, yes. Yeah.
If I may very
quickly have a children's menu.
Yes, you have a children's menu. That was fantastic. Yes, we have a children's
menu.
Any
specials? Liver.
Now, this chap, didn't he look like Jackson Thingamajig from...
eyes. Yes, he did, yeah.
I was expecting him to say kidneys when he was scanning the
I was expecting that too, especially with a reference to Geronimo.
The actor playing the waiter is Graham Duff, who created the excellent BBC Radio 4 sci-fi sitcom series Nebulous.
Oh, brilliant. I love that. Started. Yes, I love Nebulous.
And also wrote one of the Paul McGann Big Finish audios, Faith Stealer.
Okay.
Oh, well done.
Stealer.
Yeah, interesting. Which reminded me of Android Invasion, but of course this being a bit more... bit more yucky because they're real flesh. Of course, with the fact that the Doctor later on is wearing some of this.
Yes.
They've done that before in Doctor Who. They've sort of had.
Well, I assume it's flesh been canned suits. Somehow to last all these years.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we've got to think of the Slitheen family and their flesh suits.
Yeah.
A similar sort of thing. Yeah.
Well, one of the groups probably got the technology from the other group.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, then the Doctor and Clara are tied up in the scene. We get the new Doctor's first introduction to the sonic screwdriver. Well, first really good introduction to it. And that scene's really, really good, isn't it? That's when he mentions a previous character.
Yeah, times like this, I miss Amy. Yeah.
And Reese was watching and saying, so do I. While he gets him in the belly button.
Yes.
Yeah. She gets him in the belly button.
Yeah, in the belly button, yes.
We have got Isabella sitting here. Yes.
Sorry, did I hit something? Well. Oh, the symbolism.
Yeah. Yes.
That was another one of my quotes.
Well, the fact they did this scene, it was sort of reminiscent of a scene from the, I think it was a Day of the Daleks, when the Doctor and... Joe are tied up. I don't think they used the sonic screwdriver to untie themselves, but it was a similar. They went back to back and undid their knots.
Yeah, there was something in his pocket, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
That reminded me of that thing a little bit.
We spoke on that one not that long ago.
Yes, yeah.
Indeed, we did. So they get out, but it's not long before they get. Because the Doctor's all fascinated by these. He thinks dormant.
Yes,
dormant, I think, but you know, he doesn't want to scare Clara too much. But so he just sort of. So and then, of course, they get to the part where they can both escape, but the Doctor decides to wander back in to the room, and Clara follows and tries to drag him out, and then she's the one that ends up getting trapped. So that was very.
I do like it when the lead robot puts his hand on like a. Like very much like the celery.
Yeah.
That's what I thought of as soon as I saw that. I was like, oh, Peter Davidson.
Yeah. So that then leads to, of course,
I love the way he speaks as well, the android.
Yeah,
the way with their lips and everything. Yeah.
Very monotone.
So yeah, and also that was a really interesting scene when Clara is trapped and the Doctor's sort of at one side. And
that was my quote, yeah.
But no, it reminded me again of that scene from was it 42? Was it the? I think it was 42, wasn't it? When Martha gets trapped in the pod and it's sort of going away. And
yeah.
Of course, this Doctor doesn't go. I'll save you.
Too slow.
Yeah, right. Too slow. And hey, what about your screwdriver? I may need it. And yes.
And of course, he does need it because he does come back and save him. So he does it in a different way. But
leaves
it sort of hanging on an edge. But
in the moment, we're all thinking, "Oh my gosh!" You know, because we don't know that this Doctor is fully aware of what he's doing yet. So
Yeah, but that was a really, really good scene. I didn't really object to that because obviously. He just did things in a different way. He still ended up doing a Doctor thing, which was to infiltrate them.
Yeah.
But poor old Clara had to go through a lot of fear. And I love the way, you know, when she's holding her breath and she's walking
like the
sort of robots and the little feet are tottering along that corridor. And I know that sound effect was probably added on afterwards, but it really, really worked well.
And she does a good job of her chest kind of heaving as it would. You really need to breathe. Yeah.
And the tear that only flowed down her cheek when she sort of turned her eyes.
Especially wearing a corset, it must have been hard to get enough breath in to hold it that long, too.
Mm. Yeah. Good thought.
Yeah, it was a great scene.
I love the effect with the, from her viewpoint as well, of the red coming across her eyes.
And it was it was futile as well, because obviously they caught her anyway. And then she has a flashback to Coal Hill School with some rowdy students.
Resistance is futile.
Yes, indeed. So she's a bit of her life flashing before her eyes. That's the doctor.
It's the doctor. The doctor is the one that catches her and carries her through.
Yeah, really, of course, I didn't know the first time. The second time through, I noticed.
Fact, I didn't notice that until you just pointed out to me. So.
Yeah. I only saw it once.
Did you? Yes. By the way, everybody, Debbie thinks she's not going to go particularly well in the quiz this week because she's only seen Doctor Who once.
Well, no, there's I watched it with my husband, so I had to explain lots of things to him that I wouldn't have had to explain to myself.
Isabella's only seen it once, and I'm not going to put her through being one of the what do you call it, contestants this week. She's going to be my little assistant, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What did you think
about
it?
I loved his line when he took the face off. Rubbish robots from the dawn of time.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Another one I nearly wrote down, but I'd already had five lines by then. I thought, I'm not going to write every one of them. But I tell you, this is a fantastic scene when Clara and Half-Face Man, that basically she says, I'm not going to tell you because you're going to kill
me. You've started with the worst threat you can make. You can only make smaller threats. Yeah.
Again, shows her character really, really well. And the Doctor in the background as well, which I quite like. You just see him. Obviously, on second viewing,
he's there the whole time. Yeah.
Do you know who he reminds me of in that? So, hang on a sec. Do you know who reminds me? He reminds me of Ralph Fiennes from Harry Potter.
Yeah, Voldemort with a nose.
Anyway, sorry, Kirby.
Did anyone notice that one of the people in the corridor, as she's holding her breath, appears to be the tramp?
Yes.
Brian Miller?
Yes.
Really? No, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
I didn't see that, but I suppose it would make sense. They could.
Second. Another thing, possible spoilers, the schoolgirl that she sees in the flashback may be important later.
Oh,
I'll just say that.
Mm. Oh, thank you.
I thought it would be funny if it was Mel. Mel's.
Yes.
No, it is not Mel's. At least I don't think so. No,
but I thought it would be funny when I first saw it. I thought, oh, there we go. It could be River.
I love the, also the bit from this scene when she shows her what's it, not trust in the Doctor.
Well, her faith
in the Doctor.
Yeah,
she puts her hand out.
Almost blind faith in him.
Which is...
Well, that was... We had that heading in the 50th as well.
Yeah. But I love that because that just keeps the theme going. But slightly contradicts her, I don't think you're the Doctor thing towards the end.
I thought that was the moment that would turn her, and make her really be his, choose to be his companion.
They didn't really need it.
So when she turns up later, not trusting or knowing him.
You know why they did that? Because that was a bit of Moffat writing the story as he goes along a little bit, because he had the opportunity to insert Matt Smith towards the end. So that bit was slightly rewritten so as he could have that bit at the end. They didn't need it.
No, he wrote that scene when he wrote Time of the Doctor. That's when Matt filmed it.
It was nice, but unnecessary.
It was a lovely scene. But after this bit, that would have been the point where you go, yes, you are the Doctor.
Yeah, exactly. That would have
worked
out.
To be fair, Capaldi's Doctor sort of takes off and leaves her, and I think that she's obviously there for
Capaldi.
A period of time.
All right, don't argue about women pronunciations.
Potato.
We're a cosmopolitan podcast, and we all pronounce things slightly differently. You should see how Isabella pronounces the word banana. Isabella, how do you pronounce the word banana?
Banana.
Didn't work, Adam.
Okay, right, so...
Banana?
Yeah, I'll tell you another thing about this. Now, they keep doing little close-ups. The only thing I did spot... It was, for me, when I was watching it, it was obvious which was the anatomic version. It's beautifully made, this head, between the real actor and the anatomic one. Because obviously the anatomic one, the face was completely unmotionless, if you know. Well, unmotionless, that's opposite what it said. Motionless. But the actor, obviously, there was a bit of a life in his face. But I didn't mind it. I was just saying it, for me, when I was watching it, it was obvious which one was which. And then the Doctor rips off his rubbery, fleshy face.
Hello,
I don't think it would have been that stretchy,
robots.
To be honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the funny thing is, it's supposed to be a face that wasn't his, but when you see him standing in the background, it's clearly looked like Peter Capaldi with a ball cap on.
Yeah.
Try not to knock the table, Isabel. I know it's a thing that happens every...
Oh, I love the entrance of the ladies with into Strax. The room, yes. And then Strax.
Followed by the sheet that you're supposed to be sliding
down. Sorry.
Down.
Told you before, take the stairs.
Yeah. They have said that in previous
The screening I was at the other night here in Huntsville, that got a huge laugh.
I'm glad one of us has been to a screening.
Well, it was the cinema screening will be tonight, actually. Straight to Ale, which is a local brewery and bar here.
That's convenient.
Hosted a screening Saturday night, which had about 250 people attend. And Conker Sturbers drug out the TARDIS and the Daleks, so we were able to sit down and watch it with a very large audience, which is exactly how you should always watch Doctor Who, in my own opinion.
When you get the opportunity.
If I weren't so far away, I would have been there. They had a similar screening at a bar here, but I couldn't make it.
Mm. No, it is great fun watching Doctor Who with a large crowd of Doctor Who fans. New episodes, at least. Mm.
Nobody there had any screenings of any kind here in Dayton, Ohio.
I think you'll have to arrange one then, Mary.
Yeah.
The Christmas one.
Yeah. So, anyway, the Doctor is now starting
his... There's the tramp. There was a close-up of the tramp there. Yeah.
If I can get
definitely
it back on screen.
There.
Hang on. They were just seeing it.
Yes, there he is. Yeah, it was the tramp.
I suppose that's just to give him the wages for a whole episode rather than just one scene.
Maybe.
Somehow I missed it the first time watching this, that Clara triggered the Paternoster gang to come in by saying Geronimo.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that until watching it last night.
No, I didn't either. So.
Well, the Doctor coaches her to do it.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So he knew.
They wouldn't have
sent
you in here without a word. Say the word.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, say the word, right.
So
right.
This is also the sort of big lead up.
I've got a question. Oh, if the tramp is one of the cyborgs, he had a lot of expression and things when he was in the alley with the doctor.
Yeah, but I don't think he was a cyborg at that stage.
Right.
At that time?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was killed after that.
Yes.
All right.
Another
sort
of
link to the fact that someone's moving them into the restaurant, making them go into the restaurant. Yeah.
I think the restaurant facade, going back to the point that Adam was making about why is it they're able to go in and breathe and talk, and then they get up to try and leave, and then the androids, robots, whatever you want to call them, make their move. I sense that's because the restaurant is a trap, and once they get you in there,
you
can't leave.
Yeah.
Hmm. Anyway, sorry, I got so
what is it, the Hotel California or something?
Very good.
It's a lovely place.
Yes. So this is obviously leading up to the traditional Doctor arch villain showdown.
Yes.
Which again,
I love what it's made out of.
Yeah.
Skin.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I loved all the different colours.
I loved it when the leader was escaping. He says, "Your friend is intelligent. He won't follow me." And there he is, clutching on underneath it.
And there he is again. You know,
the
action
America
hero
decided to do a commercial break right there.
America.
Yeah, but I did like the little references to the sister ships.
What are commercials?
Be quiet.
Oh, never mind.
We discovered, unfortunately, Saturday night. It was, you know.
Yes, it is an unfortunate thing.
The SS Marie Antoinette.
We do get commercials in Doctor Who on Watch, but I don't watch Doctor Who on Watch. Isabella does from time to time.
I do,
So that's great. The reference
watch
there.
Watch it on Watch. Don't be watch.
In fact, I would have been disappointed if there hadn't been, because obviously these sort of monsters were being clockwork. There was a link all the way through. You're thinking in the back of your mind, oh, it is going to be some link to it. And then they sort of satisfied.
They make
it
a bit too obvious. I would have been happy with it being left. Oh, yeah,
if you're
I remember this.
Age and you can't remember the Tennant era.
I know.
You can only remember the Matt Smith era.
Yeah, I have to admit, when he started, you know, it was, you know, people being harvested, 51st century time travelers. For some reason, my instant thought was Talons of Wang Chiang.
Yeah.
And that was happily proven wrong.
Of course, he gets the half-faced man to look at the view, and because he's got enough of humanity in him to sort of detect
beautiful.
It is beautiful. The Doctor says, no, it isn't beautiful down on the ground, because everything seems big, which is really good.
That obvious line about, yes. What do you think of the view? I do not think of it. No, say don't. Robots and contractions. I could write a book.
Data.
But also he talks about he's going to kill him. The doctor talks about he's going to kill this thing, which is unusual. But he doesn't actually physically do it. He just
probably can't remember where you get that face. I love that. The reflection of Capaldi there. Yeah.
We don't know exactly what happened.
No, we don't know. We guess that he committed suicide. But again, we don't know, like you say.
And I like the sort of the look Capaldi does after that sentence where he's like, he's just remembered.
Well, he's a pretty good actor, isn't he, really?
He's amazing. Sorry, you're not going to get me to say anything bad about Capaldi. Loved him for years.
Yeah, so there's a big struggle. And then, of course, we cut then to the struggle with the Vastra team.
I love the fact that Strax is going to kill himself really quietly. Yeah. He's been humour all the way through. And, you know, funny laugh at Strax, and he's about to kill himself.
Just shows his courage and that, doesn't it?
Can't betray his friends. And that's so against Sontaran.
Yeah. So Clara says, everybody hold their breath, grabs a sonic screwdriver, but can't do anything with it. And then they suddenly all collapse because, of course, their controller has skewered himself on the top of the clock of the Houses of Parliament. Sorry, I get it right.
That's a bit...
Because when there's pedantic people listening to the show, the
recording the show.
I didn't like that.
Go ahead.
Well, I thought they'd flown past the... because obviously the doctor nearly does it. Because Isabella was watching 11th Hour this morning. Mm. Of course, the doctor nearly gets his abilities to multiply.
You did.
Taken off. In that episode, and then they use it in another first episode for a doctor, they use it again, but in a slightly different way.
I wish he'd fallen on something a bit less boring than the top.
The ground would have been.
Yeah, Big Ben.
But I suppose it wouldn't be so grand, would it? Maybe they just wanted to have a subtle link.
A subtle,
to the 11th Tower.
I did use the modern name for the tower in my scale picture. I used parentheses Elizabeth Tower.
Okay.
Now, when you say scale, do you mean on the dinosaur or...
Oh.
Very good, Reese. Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
I love their outfits.
I also love the square on the ground where the TARDIS had been.
I fear we have missed him.
Yes. Mm. He actually, unlike the 11th Doctor, is able to time his comeback to the right, time. And this is where Clara gets a bit sort of strange because she sort of goes from being really pally and trusting him really, really well to...
The new TARDIS, but I do like the fact he said there should be more circles, circle things.
Yeah, that's great. But I love the fact that he sat in that chair, which reminded me of the 7th.
I don't know. I'm not that crazy about the new TARDIS. It's so sterile looking and cold and not a place where people would want to live.
But it's so. That's only the console room.
That's just the console room. Yeah. No. No.
Still, I kind of prefer the tenant
and the early.
They've
got a bookshelf up there and everything. And I love the Gallifreyan on the wall. It's not
that different.
It's a me TARDIS, I think.
It's a very transitional TARDIS between Matt Smith and this one.
I do like the books, though, the books on the wall.
Yeah. I like the change in the lighting. It's much warmer.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, it's not
it's like a fireplace.
Because it was very green when Tennant and Eccleston were there. The occupants. Mm.
And it was blue in the light when Matt had this version of the TARDIS.
I know it's not just because of the winged chair and everything, but it feels like a study or a library. It feels like a professor's
office. It's probably
office.
What he's doing subconsciously. Yeah.
It felt more like a scientific laboratory to me. Mm. Mm.
If he was a professor for a while. Yeah. Marianne.
Mm. Yeah. But as I say, obviously, with the option to have the cameo with Matt Smith, they did lead into it very, very well.
Mm. Yes.
And also the fact we saw the phone swinging in that episode and sort of passed it by. And it just linked it up quite nicely. So
I also quite like the idea how... before I saw the episode, I saw all these things about there won't be any relationships between the Doctor and companions. There won't be this, that, and the other. They've cast an older Doctor, and I thought they're changing it quite suddenly, quite a lot. They could lose audience members. But the way they're doing it is quite beautifully explained, because that scene where Vastra says you'd have to flirt with a mountain range, about Clara flirting with the Doctor, and then she says the Doctor's been flirting with everyone else by appearing younger for the past few regenerations.
Mm.
Whereas
this
time he just doesn't care, so he looks older.
Yeah.
And he also says that he's been around for 2,000 years, he's made some mistakes, I'm not your boyfriend. And she said, I never thought you were. And then he said, I never said it was your mistake. So he kind of loved her too, but now he's over that.
Yeah.
And I like the way he's slowly transitioning from forming connections like that to just being friends again.
Yes. No, it's an evolution back to what we remember.
This is a very sort of Rose time frame.
Master?
Yes.
Did anyone notice that Clara twice quotes David Tennant?
No.
Yes.
Yeah, she goes, no, don't. Right. Before smile, I will smile.
Well,
first.
The doctor says sorry, didn't he?
Clara does sorry, so sorry.
No, oh yeah, no,
the doctor
the
does
doctor
as
does
well
say
when
sorry.
The T Rex is burning.
But he doesn't say so sorry.
Sorry, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's a shame he didn't say I'm
but,
so sorry.
But it's Clara who does the so sorry.
Yeah.
Oh. Mm.
Cool. Yeah, it is a lovely scene, isn't it? Isn't it, Reese?
Yeah. It is.
Also, it's the other thing I think it sort of, because when we, in the actual episode at Christmas was we last person to really see the doctor was Amy, and then they've made it now that the last conversation he really does have it is with Clara, which I think is probably more correct. It's okay.
It was a good scene.
And also when she hugs him and he sort of like holds his hands out.
Yeah, no,
not a hugging person. I don't think you get
not
a vote.
I'm not a hugger.
Yeah.
Oh, that reminded me. At the cinema, like with the 50th anniversary, they had an extra scene from Strax.
Yeah.
Where he's doing a field report and he's saying to the Sontarans that there's a new face for the Doctor, and he does a little roll call of all the previous Doctors running through their personality traits and things like that.
Mm.
And when they got to the 8th Doctor, he said, something very bizarre happened here. The doctor reached puberty. So he started kissing and loving girls.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
I love Strax.
Yeah.
Yes.
Of course, then after that scene, they wander off to get some chips or whatever.
They go for coffee. Yeah.
And then we meet Missy.
And chips.
Yes. And no, chips.
Coffee
yeah.
and chips.
Missy apparently is the doctor's girlfriend, but I think she might be being sarcastic.
Gosh, yeah.
Yes.
She's a Scottish actress as well.
Is she?
Yes.
But notice her costume. I thought, is that Clara's costume from earlier on in the episode? It's quite similar. I don't think it is.
No, it's Mary Poppins. She must have gone out and murdered Mary Poppins.
And that garden is the same as the garden that Amy walks into. Which
don't
one is
say
it? Where the girl
that.
Waited? Looks just the same. It's just been dressed differently. It's the same garden. Yeah.
I think that's because we don't have, as people were clamoring for a female doctor, I think they decided to settle on a female master.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I thought with Missy Master.
Missy
could
be short for mistress. Mistress.
Oh.
And she does look very manipulative and cool, so... Yeah,
and there was a lot of...
I have to admit that the first thought I had was, having read a lot of the Virgin New Adventures with the Seventh Doctor, is the figure of Death, and the character of Death who shows up in those books, and also in some of the Seventh Doctor Big Finish audios, who's also a woman.
Yeah,
and the fact that we have the character who's apparently died, who she suddenly ends up with.
Yeah.
So it really makes me wonder. So I guess we'll find out.
Eddie Owen said on the Facebook page. The TARDIS is Missy. The doctor told the cyborg his programming was wrong. So what if he simply loaded his operating program to the TARDIS to simulate the Promised Land in exchange for him giving up his life?
Mm.
Remember how the TARDIS acted in human form? Kind of loopy?
Yeah.
Well, this is it. Yeah, she could be the master, the TARDIS.
Yeah, this is typical first episode of the series, which we've not had for
a while.
Right. Speculation, which is great. So, then we get the next time trailer. And obviously you get to see some Daleks, as you generally do in a trailer for an episode that's got Daleks in the title.
Yes, I was so excited.
What, when you saw a Dalek?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
They're my ultimate nightmare from when I was 2, I could remember these. Yeah, that's it. And when they asked if you wanted tea, that was just it. Do you care for some tea?
Right, so now it's time, because we've got... Try to cram this all in now because we've got so much to do. Okay, I suppose I'd better say what I think of it. It's for me as a first Doctor story. It's not quite as good as the 11th Hour.
Aww.
Correct.
But it's still pretty good. It's a bit of a romp.
We're doing a review now of what we talked about it.
Yeah, on the whole, I thought, well, I better watch it a second time to see if I can find anything I don't like about it. I've mentioned those. But on the whole, I quite enjoyed it. I love Peter Capaldi.
Mm.
I think he's great. And that's probably the most important thing. Mm. And, very happy. Mm-hmm. What do you think then, Isabella?
Well, actually, I really liked it.
Yeah, I saw you hiding behind the cushion, which I did post a picture of on the 20 megabyte.
Yes, we are.
I'll show you, darling.
It was cold, was it? Okay, so there wasn't anything particularly scary about it, I take it, with the fact you were... No? Well, that's unusual for Doctor Who for you, isn't it?
Yeah, actually.
And somebody did fall down to the ground, but you never mentioned it. Doctor did, right at the beginning. Oh, sorry, that was when you were
and
back.
Strax.
And Strax, yes. So, what was your favourite bit then?
What's your favourite? Who was your favourite character?
Oh, you don't have one. Okay,
no,
go on then.
No.
You do, go on then.
Too many.
Shall we come back to that so you can
do
think
you have
about
a,
it?
Have a think?
Well, while you're having a think, Debbie, what did you think?
Loved it. Obviously, it was a bit. It was supposed to be a bit perplexing because you didn't know where he was going or who he was going to be like or if he really had abandoned Clara. But I really liked that. I thought it was great. I didn't like so much. I mean, it was a great scene, the Matt Smith scene, and it was great because it tied everything in. But when she held out her hand for the Doctor, I was like, yes, she's now accepted of him. And then she didn't, and I was just like, they've drawn this out a little bit too long. But I love the fact that he's not huggy. He's not going to be flirting. He's going to be the Doctor that I grew up with. So absolutely, really excited to see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I must admit, when I watched it the first time, obviously I was very tired. I thought, will I really want to watch this again? I watched it again, and I do want to watch it again. So, Isabella, have you come up with an answer to that question now?
I've
forgotten his name.
I'm going to let my four-year-old watch this one. That's one, the one reason I was watching it was because it was on quite late here, and I was
categorising it.
Do I let her? Yeah, she's going to watch it because she needs to have something that she remembers was scary.
Okay, well, to make it fair, I'll now go for the next person on the screen, or the first person I can see, which is Mr. Kirby Butler Sloan.
I loved it. It's not one of my favorite introductions.
Okay, Matthew, your turn.
The 11th hour is still my absolute favorite introduction to a Doctor. There were things... I had issues with the fact that Clara, didn't seem to recognize the fact that he was regenerating. That bugged me throughout the entire thing. Didn't understand regeneration. Love some of the throwbacks, like the reference to the long scarf when in the scene with the tramp.
Yeah, moved on from that.
Moved on from that.
as a Tom Baker, since Tom was my doctor, that I particularly loved that. Did anyone... some other things, like when the Doctor faints on the bank of the Thames at the very beginning, did anyone notice the cloister bell rang at that very instant? I love that.
Good.
Just one of those little details.
Yeah.
I didn't mind the theme tune at all. And just it was great. I'm looking forward to these. He's going to be a great Doctor.
I agree.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Rhys Parton.
Well, the first time I watched it, I was left a little bit flat, but that's probably because there were a few other people where we were watching it. We had it turned down very low because it was 5 o'clock in the morning. but watching it again, especially in the cinema with a whole lot of people, I loved it. We laughed at all the funny moments and we were a bit sad when Matt was there and, we were reminded of Time of the Doctor and how sad it was. But yes, everything that Kirby said about how the 11th Hour is a better introduction, I agree with. But that's also because it was introducing new companions as well.
Magic!
Shut up!
Sorry, Reese.
Sorry, Reese. Sorry.
That's okay.
Silly dogs.
I liked Capaldi. I loved... I always loved Jenna. but I liked the way they worked off each other. I thought there was a bit too much joking at the beginning. It did feel very much, oh, he's just regenerated. Let's make him do silly things. But towards the end, when he started saving the day and telling Half-Face Man that this planet is very important to him and he'll try and save it, I started to really appreciate him a bit more as the Doctor. And, I loved it from then on. And so, yeah, good episode.
Excellent. Matthew.
I've to a certain extent have been holding out since Peter Capaldi was announced.
Capaldi.
Oh, shut up.
Stop being crumbly there, Matthew.
Don't get reeled into it, Matthew. Yes.
I stayed up all night for this.
Yeah. It's just Kirby.
You
take
stay
no
up all night
me.
Every night.
I've actually been sleeping, going to bed earlier because my allergies have been kicking my butt the last
week. One of your allergies being Kirby.
Knew I hadn't been on this podcast for a while. I've sort of held out faith that Peter, how is it pronounced again, Kirby?
Capaldi.
He's a good friend.
Capaldi. Tomato, tomato, and series season.
Everybody I know pronounces it Capaldi, so I'm pronouncing it Capaldi.
Yeah, you pronounce it how you
Chris,
like.
Chris Hardwick is the final word on how it's pronounced. That's, that's why.
Yes.
But, I'm going to call Peter and ask him, how do you pronounce your last name?
Yeah, who cares? Who cares?
There was him. Really, on one of these, video podcasts associated with The Nerdist the other day, drive me crazy because they called Alpha Centauri the monster of Peladon. Ah!
Oh. Yeah, all right. Anyway, Matthew, carry on.
Wasn't I supposed to be giving a review?
Yes, you were. Yes. But as per usual, Kirby contaminated it.
Since Capaldi was announced last year, I've kind of held up faith.
Shut down.
Whatever. Can I just... I'm fixing to just give up.
Oh, no. We've just got him
back. Leave
him
alone,
Stop
Kirby.
Yes.
Or I'll deduct points.
I was sort of holding out faith since that Scottish guy was announced that he was going to be a good doctor and that I think that a lot of people who I think had been sticking through it and were saying there needs to be a change, things were going to sort of improve. Not that I had anything wrong with Series 7, much to the contrary, as a matter of fact. But I felt watching the work print about 3 or 4 weeks ago and sitting there.
Shame.
Well, you know, as my brother has a shirt that puts it best, lead me not to temptation, I will find it myself. but especially watching it Saturday night with that large audience at Straight to Ale, I feel very good about it. It does have some issues, I think. And I think there's been some criticism that Moffat is recycling some of his old ideas. I disagree with that point. I think merely making ties back to the past, which is there's nothing against. It's something I think you have to do when you have a show that lasts for this long. I like the Matt Smith scene because I think it's Deep Breath's way of doing what they did in 11th Hour when the Atraxi showed all of the Doctor's faces and then had Matt Smith step through and say, "I'm the Doctor." They couldn't obviously do that again here, so I think that doing the Matt Smith phone call was a great way of making that transition. Yeah. But also, I think it's a sort of a metafictional thing as well for those sitting out in the audience who are unsure of this older guy coming in. Is he going to be able to play the role? And I think that Capaldi's performance is wonderful in this because you get a full sense of his range, the comedy stuff early, serious stuff later on. I think, yeah, I would count Matt Smith as being my favorite new series Doctor, and I think just on the basis of this and what I have seen of the next episode, I think he may be my new favorite Doctor from the new series. Mm. And I think to a certain extent he's the Doctor I've been waiting for since David Tennant left.
Excellent.
If not earlier. So I think it's a strong episode. It's not the greatest Doctor Who episode ever. It's not the worst by any means. Mm-hmm. I think in terms of Doctor debuts, I think either 11th Hour or Spearhead from Space is still probably the best. Mm. But I'm very excited about it. I'm very happy with it. Always happy to see the Paternoster gang come back and Strax's obligatory scene stealing as a result.
Yes.
Especially the bit where he throws Clara the Times and just knocks her over.
Yes. Send the paper up. Okay, go on then.
Very happy with it and very intrigued to see where Series 8 is going to go from here.
Yeah, I must admit, I'm looking forward to the next sort of blink or what was the one you referred about the when Amy was on the
Girl Waited.
The next episode like that, because we haven't had one for a while, because we haven't had a sort of good run of episodes. Yeah. I'm sure we'll get one.
Of course. Yeah.
Well, anyway,
Something else I just want to add real quick, you having mentioned Clara, I think there's been a lot of criticism of Clara as a character for having no character in a lot of people's minds. And I think that... And which I disagree with to a large extent. But I think watching an episode like this, I think they're beginning to move away from The Impossible Girl, where she was, I think, by and large, a plot device more than anything else.
Yeah.
And they're moving her into actually being a full-on character, at least more of a character than she has been. So I hope that the rumors that she's going to be leaving aren't true.
Yeah, exactly. I agree too. Anyway, obviously you say the best to last. It's Mary.
Yay. And the highly anticipated bath of cold water.
Uh-oh.
And here it comes. I won't disappoint.
Next time we start with Mary, okay?
Yes.
No, I was not a fan of this first episode. I love Peter Capaldi doing, you know, ratings out of 10, which some people were doing. I'd give Capaldi an 11 out of 10.
Not a 12?
I really am. Well, 12 out of 10. Okay. I think he's going to be a phenomenal doctor. I loved everything he did. Every time he was on the screen, I couldn't watch anything else but him. He is so arresting.
Yeah.
So much fun to watch. And on the point that Matthew was talking about Clara, I hope they do something with her, because up until now, I really have never connected with her. I really still don't know who she is or what she's about, or so I don't care that much about her. This episode gave a hint that hopefully she's going to be a fuller character, and I hope that's true, because I think Jenna Coleman is a wonderful actress, and I think she's always done what they've asked of her. But I think there just hasn't been much there. But where I feel like the episode itself is extremely thin on story, which is, you know, my big disappointment, because other regeneration episodes have still been good, full-on stories. And I felt like this one, they kind of had to do a story. But what they filled the time with instead was, I think, winning over the 20 and under crowd that have all been salivating over Matt Smith. And they're worried that they're going to lose, you know, this potent, purchasing of their merchandise and stuff. So they had to pull them by, you know, their hands and say, oh, come on, this really is going to be a good doctor for you. We even had to sit through Madame Vastra talking with Jenny about, oh, it's just a veil, it's just a face, and I'm thinking, oh my God, let's get on with it.
I loved that was an amazing
performance. I want a story.
Yes, yeah, it was.
You know, quit pandering to her uncertainty, because all she's just the figure for the public that they're trying really hard to win over to this older doctor. I mean, I can't tell you how many times that older theme came up in the story, and I'm thinking, okay, he's older, so what?
You know, that's what they
he
said
still can be a wonderful doctor.
Yeah.
So I was very disappointed that most of the story, or at least half the story, was eaten up, you know, trying to convince us, including that Matt Smith scene, you know, for all the, you know, the little girls who are crying over the loss of Matt Smith, you know, that this is like the careful little handover that they all need to accept Capaldi. When in fact, I think by the appearance of the thousands of fans at every event, I think they've already accepted him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mary.
My other downers where this episode is concerned is I know you're all going to rise up against me, but the Paternoster gang, I think they're past their sell-by date. I'm really tired of them, but because they're comedy gold, you know, we keep bringing them back to, you know, to get more
Straxes
laughs out
anyway.
Of them. So. Yeah, Straxes anyway, you know, but I'm just tired of them. And last but not least, the art direction, this Victorian steampunk look, which they brought in the seventh series. Yeah, it's old. It's already old, but we're still mining it. And it's like, move on, come up with something new and innovative. And don't keep delivering this old stuff to us. So that's where I'm coming from. That I'm a little disappointed. I mean, a lot of funny lines, and you know, Capaldi's great, but you know, I want to see what else they're going to do.
So you'll never watch the show again.
Didn't I just say I'm looking forward to seeing what they're going to do?
Another standard Kirbyism.
Kirby for the pedant.
Yes, you can, Matthew.
Well, if
carry on. The thing with Clara, and I think that the uncertainty and whatnot, I think that the thing is, it's not the fans who are important. Yes, we're the people who will buy the merchandise. Yes, we are the people.
I was
going
to say,
will,
you know,
who
that's all they're talking
watch.
To with Clara are the fans.
I don't think it's maybe even necessarily the fans. I think it's the casual viewers out there,
also,
the people for whom
the character.
Yeah, for whom that the show has only been the last 5-6 years, where it's been David Tennant and it's been particularly Matt Smith. I mean, the show has exploded.
Like I said, the 20 and under crowd, yeah, who've all been in love with Matt Smith. They're the ones they're talking to.
Yeah, which I question if how much of that was necessary, given I spoke to one of my coworkers who's a casual fan of the show just the other day, and we were talking about, you know, the handover, and she's 18, and she's exactly the kind of person I would have expected to have walked away after Matt Smith. Mm-hmm. And said, you know, oh, it's not Matt Smith anymore. I'm not going to watch it. Instead, she's like, I'm really excited about this guy. Yeah, he's older, but who cares? It's going to be interesting.
That's because she's
a
fan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Right. And that's my point, too, is we didn't need all this. We needed a better story.
Well, I think it was a case of better safe than sorry. So, and for that, I will forgive it.
Well, also, I think this is quite interesting because being at uni, I've started watching movies with my fellow actors, and we'd talk about things like character development and relationships. And I think you guys are looking at it very much from a marketing point of view, but just looking at it story-wise, that call was just him comforting Clara, reassuring her that everything's okay with this new version of him. And I was looking at it more from a character point of view instead of things like saying to the kids, stick around with the older character, it's okay.
Right.
Yes, that probably is happening. That's probably part of it. But I was looking at it more from the story point of view and the character point of view, and it's just interesting to hear that other perspective.
Also, it's an original thing to do, though. They've never done anything like that before, which I appreciated.
Yes.
Yeah, well, we all thought that when he came for her at that, you know, when she said, he's got my back, we all thought that's the turning point. But then we still had to drag out.
Yeah, that's it.
Keep in mind that he then runs off after the building or whatever crashes, jumps in the TARDIS and flies away, and she's been left sitting there in Victorian London for God knows how long, and she's had
to her in Time of the Doctor as well.
She's already met all the other versions, and you know, none of this should be a surprise to her.
We'll have to agree to disagree.
The thing about the companion being the being the audience identification figure, I think, is rather than a thing, but.
Yeah, but I'm saying the audience didn't really need all this.
Okay.
Mary, I probably missed you saying that you were going to continue watching when I unfortunately, I had to put the cat out.
Oh, here we go.
Why was it on fire?
Is that excuse patented, Reese? I don't know. Anyway, right, let's move on. What we're going to try to slate.
I'll write a new one. I'll write that down.
Okay.
I was putting the cat out. Yeah. That'll be in the fifth edition of the book coming out next Thursday.
We're going to change the order of events.
Reese has accepted the book.
Yes, he has. Sure. We're going to change the order of events now simply because I might have to tag the feedback onto the end of the show because it's trying to cram everything into the time we've got. So what we're going to do now is this week's edition of You Won't Get This One.
These are harder because I can't study.
That's what she said.
I did, actually.
Well, I haven't written an answer yet. So it's going to be very interesting, this particular edition of the show, especially as I haven't got a pen. Oh, there's one.
There's two.
Does it work on black? I'm very
my
important.
Photos here
we go.
Right,
talking
then.
Just going to write the names down. Debbie, Mary, Kirby.
Oh, no, I don't want to be
not me.
Matthew.
You can be with me, Isabella.
No, she's my helper. score teller and everything. And it won't last very long because obviously they've got more people than questions this week, which is a very strange scenario that doesn't normally happen on a show. Right. Okay, first question will go to Debbie when I get my page open on the clipboard. Right then. Our trouble is the answers are on this page. I know what you all like. Do not read the answers as well. Thank you very much.
Not me.
Right. First question, number one. Don't read the answer.
I'm not looking.
Not you.
Yeah.
You go on, Isabella. Today would be nice.
Right. What? Big Ben showing at the beginning.
Hang on. There's a word missing there. Right. You go on. Right. Start again.
Debbie. But we don't actually see the bell, so it's not Big Ben.
Never mind.
Never mind.
Pedantic moment.
Debbie. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What time did Big Ben?
No, it was.
Was Big Ben showing at the beginning of the story?
Oh, good lord. Midnight?
Nope. Anybody?
5:15?
Oh. No, the answer was
3:00.
Right then, Mary.
Yes.
What did the doctor say when he opened the TARDIS door?
I know.
Oh, who said I knew? I think Reese might have said I know first there.
He said shush. Sleepy.
No, he said shush.
Hey!
That's all right, no, she did get it wrong. She didn't hear what... I put that point to Matthew. I'm going to cross that one out. Right, Kirby, question 3.
Master.
What sound could be heard as the doctor fainted?
I mean, he already mentioned that.
Luck of the draw. Is the correct answer. Right, Matthew.
Yes.
What does the doctor say after he says, "You all sound so English"?
Did you get that?
I know.
Oh, I can't remember.
Anybody?
I think it was Mary's quote at the beginning.
Oh, well done, Kirby. Right there, next one is Reese.
Oh dear, yes.
Lean forward, Isabella. What's number 5, isn't it?
What does...
Oi, stop scratching. Start, hang on. Start.
Sorry.
Start again.
I'm sorry.
Sorry. Right, start again, Isabella.
What does
Vastra
request after Clara suggests that they find a way to change the doctor back?
If you don't understand the question, I'll read it out again.
Okay, go for it.
Right, what does Vastra request after Clara suggests that they find a way to change the doctor back?
Yeah, no, I'm still just as lost. Pass it on to someone else.
Anybody else?
I know.
Pop go on then, Matthew.
Does she ask Jenny for her veil?
She does. Mm. All right, well done. Right, Debbie.
Okay.
It's that one, number 6.
Right. When the doctor starts translating the T-Rex while unconscious, what is the first thing he says?
Is it I'm alone?
It is!
Yay! Yes.
Score!
Wow! Yes.
Right, Mary!
I was just going to go raw.
Mary is number 7.
What is the name of the man who blames the government
for
the appearance of the dinosaur?
No, I can say that in English if you... Oh, well, Kirby understood it. So, Mary, what do you think? I can read it again.
I don't know if Kirby knows. Let him have
Kirby.
It.
Kirby.
Alf.
Well done. Right, so who's next? Be Kirby, then.
Master. Yes.
Come on, then. Number 8.
What reason did Vastra give to Clara for wearing a veil?
You stopped when it was no longer necessary.
No. Anybody?
To fit in?
No. When you stopped seeing it?
I'm gonna give Reese a point for that one because it's to be accepted.
Okay.
Hold on, Reese. Right.
Oh, the reason for wearing. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. That's it.
Right. Therefore, it must.
Who's wrong?
Lean forward.
All right, don't worry. It's
Matthew's go. Yes, number 9. Yes.
Debbie, what's the answer? What's the answer?
Number nine.
Oh. What was the doctor's
conclusion
of the
option
of
exiting
through the door?
Not me. Window, me.
No.
Oh, I can give you a point for that, because that's part of it. What about the first part of that?
Boring.
Yeah, I'll get a point for Matthew and a point for Mary. There we go.
Oh! Right,
yes. Door boring, not me, was the conclusion.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So, Reese next. And that'll be...
Yes.
Where are we?
Very difficult to lean so far away from the microphone.
What happened just before the dinosaur was killed?
Yeah. Did you get that?
What happened just before the dinosaur was killed? Yes. The doctor was saying that he will help it and take it back to where it came from.
Oh, I'll give you that. Yeah, I'll give you that one.
Called it a big sexy... Yeah,
the answer, word for word, was... Oh, hang on, let me grab the iPad, I'm reading. The answer word for word was the doctor promised to get her home. So, the next... Oh, should we do a score check? The score checks at the moment.
Yeah.
In last place with 1 point, it's Mary. Oh, sorry, if Ella wants to do the score check. Go on, then. Quite easily. The microphone's there, dear. That's my... There.
In last place with 1 point...
Don't rub it in.
It's Mary.
We have to say that twice.
Fourth place.
So who's in the last place?
Mary!
Shush!
Shush! In fourth place...
with 2 points is Debbie.
In joint second place with...
3 is Matthew and Reese.
And in the lead with...
4 is Kirby.
Right, good, right. So
I'll try to miss
Debbie's question next. Number 11 is Debbie's question.
Niels.
What did the doctor say as he stepped onto the wall of the bridge?
Oh, she wants to say it. Go on then.
Does he say, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry?
No.
Sorry.
What does it say down there? I think, hang on, don't tell me. Be sure that's more or less what it is.
Sorry.
Yeah, don't do. Yes, sorry. There's probably too many sorries in that answer, but it was the correct answer. Yes.
Yeah.
You've been very, very good.
The so part doesn't happen until late.
Yeah, never mind that. Right. Next one's for Mary.
When the doctor was grieving the death of the T-Rex, what does he call Earth?
I know.
Go on in, Mary.
What does he call her?
Yeah, what does he call Earth?
Oh, what does he call Earth?
Yeah.
Planet of the pudding brains.
Correct.
Yeah.
Oh, we forgot to mention in that scene too, that when Vestra locks the van, it goes beep beep.
Yes.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, well done. Right, so next question therefore is for Kirby. Let's find where we are. That's number 13.
Precisely does Strax hit Clara in the face with
him. Oh, I know.
Yeah, what precisely is that?
Pardon? That's his name.
Shush, pardon, yes. Kirby?
He said the time.
That's the correct answer.
Yeah.
That's Matthew. Next one.
Strax. Yes.
That's him.
Yes, it is. Right, next one was number 14.
How old is Clara?
27.
Is the correct answer. Reese.
Yes.
Where are we? Number 415.
15.
Yeah.
Who does Strax suggest the doctor might have had his throat cut by?
The homeless.
Hang on.
Was it the homeless?
Hang on.
On the street? Okay.
Not quite.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Right, sorry. Yeah. I know. So I've lost track of where it was then. That was 13, Reese's question. Was it Reese's question?
Yes.
I thought it was Matthew's question. I'm getting confused.
No. Reese's question.
Right, I'll tell you what, Reese, right? I'm going to give you that one.
Okay.
But it's not right.
All right, I'll give you a point because it was nearly right. Mm-hmm. Anybody can get a point and have the exact right answer? Kirby, you seem to know. Or was it
the
Matthew?
The violent poor.
The violent poor.
Is that all right with everybody?
Yeah.
That's good, right. It's the correct answer. Right. Debbie's next then. With number 16.
Oh, crikey.
When the doctor tries to tell the tramp,
It was cold.
Why does it say cold?
Because I've been typing it quickly.
It was cold. How does he mistakenly
articulate it?
Bitey.
Correct.
Yes.
A bit bitey.
Right. Mary next. And that would be number...
I'm going to start using that.
17.
Instead of nippy.
Yeah.
Mary?
How does the doctor sum up his new eyebrows?
as a tack eyebrows.
That's the correct answer. Kirby.
Take bottle lids.
18.
Master.
What is the best thing about being Scottish, according to the doctor?
What was that? It was.
I know.
Matthew knows.
He can complain about things.
Matthew, this is your question. That's number 18.
What is the best thing about
I've done that one. Sorry. Number 19.
How many cases had there been on
of spontaneous combustion to date?
According
I know.
To the newspaper.
Is it nine?
No.
No.
Is it four?
It is four.
Yep.
Ah.
It was nine, according to Vastra, but the newspaper printed four.
Yes.
Yes. Because that was slightly old newspaper, was it not? Mm-hmm. Right. So, Reese, number 20.
What does the ad in the newspaper say?
Which one?
Well, for the, you know,
the
which
first one?
The main one that, the one that sets up the meeting.
Impossible Girl Lunch on the Other Side.
It is correct. Oh, I'll just give that point to Matthew. It doesn't matter with me. Right. Cross that out. Right, so scores then. In last place with... Hang on, stop dragging the stuff off me. Thank you very much. It's not that boring, Debbie.
Sorry.
The joint last place is not. Those two. Joint last place.
Matthew and Mary.
With lean a bit closer, sweetie.
Five.
Yes. In second place. Oh, sorry, third. Hang on. Wait
a second. Matthew used to win these things. Be quiet. Constantly.
In third place with 6 points.
Is Reese.
In second place with 7 points.
Is Debbie.
And in the lead with Smarty Pants, 9 points.
Is Kirby.
Yes, right. So next question must therefore go to Debbie. Uh-huh. And number 21. Debbie, number 21.
Okay. What was the name of the restaurant?
Oh, man alive.
No, it's not. Good neighbour, Red Millie
Ways.
Millie Ways, yeah. Mancini's?
Oh, yeah. Right, Mary.
Yeah, man alive, though.
Yeah, 22.
What?
Accusation.
Accusation of a doctor's offence.
I'll read that one, shall I? What accusation of the
doctor?
No, I'll read it out properly. What accusation of the doctors offends Clara in the restaurant?
I know.
I don't understand.
That the ad is from the Impossible Girl?
No. Go on, Matthew.
Yes.
Clara is an egomaniac control freak.
That's the one. Right, yeah. Reese.
Later on, in front of half-faced men.
No, it's not. Never mind. This is Kirby's go. Kirby's go. I do apologise. Kirby.
Master.
Do you want me to do this one, Isabella, while you adjust your headphones?
It was twisted.
Was it? Well, that doesn't make a difference. I'll do this one while sort yourself out.
Who are you calling twisted?
Right, Kirby, what are the first four parts of the Doctor that are on the menu? Not necessarily in the right order, by the way.
Brains.
No.
I know some.
Go on then, Mary.
Go ahead.
The liver, spleen, lungs.
And brainstem.
Brainstem, yeah.
Mm. I'll give you
does that count?
I'll give you 1 point there, Mary, but well done. Right, Matthew.
Yes.
Number 24 there, Isabella.
What does the doctor say as Clara tried to reach the sonic screwdriver with her foot?
I know that one.
I can't remember.
Go on then, Debbie.
There's times like this I miss Amy.
That's correct.
Oh!
Reese.
Yes.
Number 25, Isabella.
Why does the doctor give...
Doesn't.
Why... Doesn't the doctor give Clara the sonic screwdriver when she gets trapped?
He might need it.
That's a correct answer. Right, I give them to Matthew again. What's the matter with me?
Matthew back, that's what it is.
Is that how
I didn't hear the question.
Oh, for God's sake. Right, say the question again. It's why, what are the doctors... Oh, that's not that one. What does the doctor... Yeah. Why doesn't the doctor give Clara the sonic screwdriver when she gets trapped? That was the question, Kirby.
Okay.
The answer was he might need it. Right then. Scores then, at the moment. I'll do the scores this time because we're running out of time, Isabella.
No, we're not.
Yes, we are.
No, we're not.
Last place with 6 points, joint 6 points. So joint last place are...
Mary and Matthew.
In third place with 8 points is...
Reese.
In second place with 9 points.
Is Kirby.
And in the lead with 10 points.
Is Debbie.
So much for Smarty Pants. Kirby.
Well, what happens, you'll see this happen often, if I may use the current excuse, as we go further through an episode, I memorize things more towards the beginning than episode.
Should I add that to the book as well?
Yes. It really should be Kirby's Book of Experience.
Kirby, we don't care.
Right, Isabella, this is a question for Debbie, number 26.
What does the Doctor call the robots after he removes his mask?
I know.
Reese knows.
Stupid robots from the dawn of time.
Oh, I'm going to give you that. It's only one word wrong. It's rubbish robots.
Rubbish robots,
wrong,
yeah.
It was pretty good. Right then. Mary, question number 27, Isabella. Yeah.
Star, leave Isabella
what
alone.
What century is the spaceship from?
What century is the spaceship from?
I know. 51st.
Yeah, it's correct.
Yeah. Everything's from the 51st.
Yeah. It seems that way.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Kirby.
I want to go there.
Kirby. Right, number 28.
How is the spaceship being powered?
How is the spaceship being powered, Kirby?
I don't... I know that the Doctor puts the science screwdriver in there, but...
Go on, Reese.
Skin.
Correct.
Right. No, the escape capsule that didn't power the ship. Yeah, that was the escape capsule. That was really
well. Reese seemed to know the answer. There was no mention of any other form of power. So I'm going to give that to Reese. All right. I always look at the script.
Protest.
He's still getting the point. Oh, you can protest all your blooming well like. Yeah. Well, who was that question originally for? Kirby.
Kirby. Yeah.
Right. So this is Matthew's question then. Matthew, number 29, Isabella.
29.
Watch your feet.
What is the name of the spaceship?
SS Marie Antoinette.
Is the correct answer. Right then, Reese, this is yours. This is number 30.
What household
implement
does the Doctor compare the half-faced man to?
A broom.
Is correct. The scores. Okay. Not very many questions left, but the scores at the moment are very, very close, Isabella, isn't it? Can I have the paper, please? Mm-hmm. Right, in last place... Oh, and I've just got my pen off. I need that. Sorry, Stars. Hang on. In last place with 8 points, it's...
Mary.
In fourth place with 9 points, it's...
Kirby.
It's really boring, isn't it? No. It's actually 8 points, it's...
Matthew.
And then in third place with 9 points.
Kirby.
In second place with 10 points.
That's better.
11 points.
11 points.
And in first place with 12 points.
Is Debbie.
I've made right a bit of mess of this piece of paper. It's got to be said.
It's close,
right then,
Reese,
so
it's close.
Debbie's go now. So we're looking at question number 31. Don't
what
do the answer.
What time did the half-faced man die?
Yeah, what time did the half-faced man die?
Oh my goodness.
No.
It's the sort of question Debbie would do, so it's
very
apt.
Yeah, I know it is the sort of question that I would do, but midday.
No. Anybody?
It's time of death.
Good, this is... You didn't get that one. Yeah. The answer was 1:27 p.m. That's just a funny...
The thing is, if I had got up to watch it again this morning, I would have noted that.
Oh, sorry, Isabella. Go on, say the answer then. I've just told you. They've told you. There.
1:27 p.m.
Yes, what I just said. Right there. Right, so therefore, Mary, this is your question. This is number 32, Isabella. Lean forward, thank you.
What does the Doctor think should be added to his new
console room? Yes.
I know.
Oh, Matthew knows. Mary?
Oh, I don't remember.
Okay, yeah. Matthew?
More round things.
More round things.
Yes. He used to have those. What did he do with them?
Yes. Kirby.
I love the round things.
Kirby, this is your question. Number 33. Isabella, stop falling asleep or I'll do the question. Sorry.
Who did Isabella think was...
This is a tricky one, this one. She's got to use... I'll do this because you're in the... Who did Isabella think was... calling Clara on the phone. So when the phone rang, while Isabella was watching the episode, she didn't know obviously who was actually calling. She wasn't spoiled by this. So who do you think Isabella thought who do you think was calling Clara?
How am I supposed to know
that? You're supposed to try and think Isabella's way of thinking.
Yes.
Who do you think Isabella thought was calling on the phone?
Oh, River?
Clara.
No.
No.
Clara couldn't be calling herself, surely. That would be a bit silly.
She could have. River?
Okay, no. The answer... I'll give anybody one more guess. You two have had a guess. Anybody else like to have a go?
I'm going to say it.
I know what you're... I know you, you're going to know. You're, oh, go on then. Nobody knows. Go on then, Isabella. Who was it that you thought was calling?
Amy.
Oh.
Would have got that
one. That's a good guess. That is a good guess.
Yeah. Who's next?
That was
Matthew, isn't it?
That was Kirby. So yeah.
Matthew, this is your question. Number 34, Isabella.
What colour is Clara's phone?
Oh, I know.
Oh, bloody.
No, it wasn't.
White. It would be quite good if it was, though.
White.
I mean, you're not supposed to give the answer up until Matthew's right. Get a point deducted for that. Jumping in before Matthew had a chance to answer the question. He just
thanks.
That. Bloody wasn't the answer. He was, he was just cutting. So, point deducted for Debbie. Yeah, and I won't give you a point anyway, Matthew, but never mind. Sorry. Just
took
deduction.
A point off.
Yes. Don't do what Robert does. No points, Robert. Right, Reese.
Yes.
I'm
right. This is number 35.
What is the last thing the 11th Doctor whispered to Clara? I want to say that answer.
All right.
I should remember, but I don't. Does anyone else know?
Anybody else?
Believe?
No.
No, go on in, Isabella. What's the answer?
Miss you.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
I'm choking up.
I know. Right, so the scores with very, very limited amount. Wait, you can't read it. Give it away.
Yes.
Good Lord.
Can't last, read tallies. Don't read the officer.
How could he miss her? He's standing right next
right.
to her.
Yeah. Right, so in last place with 8 points, it's...
Mary.
In fourth place, or joint, sorry, or joint third place, really, it's...
Kirby and Matthew.
With 9. In second place with 10 points...
Is Debbie.
Hang on, how could I go from 12 to 10?
Two, because you had a point. It didn't have 12. Oh, no, all right, 11 points. It's 11. Joint first place. Sorry, Joint first place, and it's...
Debbie.
And
Reese.
With 11, right then. So, hardly any questions left. It's
Master.
Yes.
Master.
Yes, quickly.
I just had a thought that the doctor says, miss you, and that... In a scene closely thereafter, we see Miss C.
Ooh, a good one.
What if it's Clara?
Right, last 5 questions.
you should write for the show.
Okay, right. So this is Debbie's question. Debbie's last question is this.
Where did the doctor think they had landed?
They thought he'd taken Clara home, but it was Glasgow.
That's the correct answer.
Yeah.
But it looks like a street in Cardiff.
Yes, it does. Well, my husband lived in Glasgow.
Celtic
and he recognised it. He
very,
did
very
recognise it.
Right then. Mary's question. Mary's last question,
what
number 37.
What is the name of the doctor's girlfriend at the end of...
Hey.
Story?
I know.
Come on, Mary.
Is that Missy?
Yeah. Kirby.
Master.
Right. Number 38. Go on, then.
What was... Billy.
Oh, I'll do this one. What was Billy Hanshaw's contribution to the new series of Doctor Who?
I know.
Matthew knows.
The foggiest do that was.
Go on then, Matthew.
He was the one who put the credit sequence
he
on
was.
YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it says. Oh. Yes, it's a title concept, Billy Hanshaw. Right then. The next one
which we'd prefer to see.
Did you get a question, Mary?
Yes, you did.
All right, sorry. I seem to have. Lost the track. So this is whose go is it now?
39.
Oh, no, but whose go is it?
Yeah, but whose go is it?
That was
for Kirby. Wasn't it?
This is Matthew's.
I believe
question.
It's my turn.
Yeah.
Right then, Matthew.
The
this is a tricky one. Right, number 39.
Who composed the
incidental
music?
I don't.
I believe that would be Mr. Murray Gold.
It was, but you never know if it landed on Mary's lap. And somebody might have thought the Murray Gold had given up. And the last question goes to Reese. You'll never get this one.
What two classic series writers were
credited?
Were credited is the closing title.
No, it didn't say is, does it?
I know.
It's
the closing title sequence.
I'll read it out. So it's a good. What two classic series writers were credited in the closing title sequence? This is Reese's question. A point for each.
I know.
And you know you're right.
Go on in,
Matthew.
Yeah.
It would be Robert Holmes for creating the Suntarans and Mr. Malcolm Hulk for creating the Silurians.
Is the correct answer. It's the final scores. I'll write them down for you, Isabella.
Robert
right.
into the lead there.
Right,
yeah.
And, right, so, in last place with...
9 points is Kirby.
In fourth place with...
10 is Mary.
In third
wow,
place
I
with...
actually moved up.
11
and
is
I went
Reese.
To the bottom.
In second place with...
Deb. 12 is Debbie.
And the winner, he's back!
Matthew
with 13!
Look at that! Yeah, look how close right. that was!
Their favorite show, The West Wing. Victory is mine. Bring me the finest muffins and bagels in all the land.
That was a real swashbuckling episode of the show this
that
week. Good,
good
lord!
Enjoyed
right,
that.
Now it's time to try and squeeze in some feedback.
Aww.
This is from Patrick Bishop. Good old Patrick Bishop. He's not old, is he?
No, he's not.
Hello, everyone at the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
That's quite funny.
From North Hollywood, with my feedback for the season premiere of Doctor Who.
Why is he so quiet?
Deep breath.
Right, I'm going to turn
first,
the volume up.
Let me apologize for my last week's feedback being late. I guess I just missed the cut by a couple of hours or so. So I'm not sure if you've even played it before you're playing this, but I'll try to be more prompt. Now, for Deep Breath, I really, really liked it. Really liked it. I love the more serious tone that I perceived throughout the episode. Got lots of things. First thing, what's up with killing the dinosaurs? I mean, first the Triceratops and dinosaurs on the spaceship gets killed. Now the T-Rex gets, combusted. I didn't like that. It definitely set the tone that it wasn't going to be cutesy. But I don't know. For some reason, it bugged me that they killed the T-Rex. I love the Fourth Doctor long scarf reference when Capaldi is in the alley talking to the bomb, asking for work clothes, where to get new clothes. And he says, can I get a really long scarf? And he says, no, forget that. I thought that was funny. I'm just going to be hopping around the episode. At the end, the final battle, another note on how serious the tone was, different from the previous seasons, is at the end when the robots are about to, strike a final blow against everyone, Strax is about to shoot himself when he realizes he can't hold his breath any longer. And Vastra tells him no. I thought that was really, really deep. A couple of things. What's the deal with, who put the Impossible Girl ad in the paper, and it linking to the woman in the shop who called Clara in a previous episode, to tip her off where the doctor was? Right. I have to rewatch it and see. They kind of link those two together and explain them. I missed it. I've just watched it like 2 minutes ago, so I'm trying to record while the thoughts are fresh in my brain. Again, hopping around the episode, having Matt Smith call Clara at the end to convince her to stay. I thought that was odd. I think that was a little bit of fan service. Odd, but interesting. Personally, I think it was a little bit overkill. The new doctor shouldn't need companions who need convincing to stay with him. I didn't like the tone of it. She needed that coaxing to stay. After his regeneration.
Idiots.
And at the end, the last scene, I have no idea who that woman was in the garden with the control droid, who said, he'd made it into paradise and he's in heaven. I have no idea. That seemed like that came out of left field. Again, I'll have to rewatch the episode. I didn't see any foreshadowing for that. Maybe that woman's a character from a previous episode that I just haven't forgotten yet. I haven't remembered, but I have no idea. So we'll see. We'll see. I'll be watching it again in the theaters on Monday. So maybe in some of the extra 15 minutes of footage they're supposed to add to the theatrical version, maybe we'll get a little bit more of that coda and explain more. But yeah, I thought that was really strange. I have no idea who that woman was, why the control droid wasn't, dead/deactivated, after having jumped out of the, the escape module hot air balloon thing. I have no idea. The special effects were great. I love the droids. I love especially the main one. You can see the clockwork in his head. Really good. Really good work. Dinosaur, the T-Rex, was really good. Just really good production value. A great episode. I really like that.
That's what she said.
I like Capaldi. I think he's really good. I think he's he kind of reminds me of previous Doctors. I'm more of a fan of the more mature, stern, semi-pessimistic depictions of the Doctor. So I hope he's going to continue in that vein. And this being, you know, usually the first episode of the new Doctor, you know, half the episode they're out of it, and he was out of it for, like, you know, beginning of the episode. But he seemed to, when he snapped back into being the Doctor, he seemed to do it quickly, more quickly than previous regenerations. He seemed to be more with it than I remember Matt Smith or Tennant being when they, in their first episodes. So I think that was good that he kind of hit the ground running after his, you know, first 20 minutes of the episode of being really loopy and trying to figure out what was going on. But all in all, great episode. Great episode. Again, I will have to rewatch it. I'll rewatch it again tonight, probably.
We'll rewatch it at some point.
To just see if there's any hints as to what that last scene was about with the control droid and the woman.
Who,
I don't know. Is she Ronnie or is she... I don't know. I have to see. Anyway, lots of callbacks. Another last thing. Lots of callbacks in this episode to previous episodes and previous seasons, sprinkled throughout. I'm sure you guys have talked about them already. But I noticed several times through the episodes they would mention something that was a callback to an episode or a character or something that happened. Even before Clara's time. The Doctor would mention something and Claire would say, "What are you talking about?" And he'd just be like, "Forget about it," you know, because she wasn't around when that happened. So lots of good callbacks, lots of intertwining the previous seasons into this new one. And I'm very optimistic, very optimistic. And that's the end of my long-winded commentary. So you guys have a great week, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Patrick. Now, I'm sure his feedback was on the last show.
I thought we did.
I'm pretty sure we did.
I missed whole chunks of his feedback because of room noise.
Yeah, sorry about that. Sorry. Well, unfortunately, it coincided with the arrival of Deborah. Not you, the other one.
Oh, Alpha.
And just all hell broke loose just for that moment. So you'll have to wait till the show goes out, Mary. Anyway, we've got some more feedback.
One of his points I'd like to speak to
that
also rang a little sour for me is the Doctor having to plead with a companion to stay. My thinking is, if she wants to go, for heck's sake, let her go. And
I think there's plenty out there that he needed
that want to be there.
For healing purposes. Anyway, right then, we got this bit of feedback from one of our users.
Well, good evening, 20 Megabytes. It's 11:01 PM on Sunday night. I'm sitting here in the lounge on the laptop with a glass of Domaine Millet pretty Chablis, which is really rather good. I do like my Chablis. Mary, sorry, but you had a glass of wine last week. Didn't tell us what it was. I mean, sorry, but I'm the wine critic here. I do the wine. Not a problem.
Well, it's because the wine ink.
Anyway.
Can I do the cheese?
I've watched Deep Throat. I mean, sorry, Deep Breath. I'll get it right one day. Actually, I didn't watch Deep Throat because it only killed me if I had. But yes, I watched Deep Breath this afternoon. Now, yesterday, because I was at the 2020 finals day, which you bet we beat Lancashire Lightning, as I'm sure Kirby is probably kept informed, being the second critic correspondent of the 20 Megabyte Dog 2 podcast. I'm sure Kirby's following it intensely.
Oh, I bet.
But Warwickshire won. Yes. Good day. Anyway, I got home this afternoon and I sat down and watched Deep Breath with a kind of got beer for a change. You know, I do not like beer, but yeah. And yeah, it was... Seriously, folks, okay, it was a very interesting episode. Now, there were a lot of harks back. Of course, the... here we go again. From Man of Astra. You've had the place redecorated. There was the Doctor himself saying, got a scarf as well. So a lot of hints back to... previous incarnation of the Doctor, previous generation. So there's a lot of continuity there. A lot of classic fans like myself, like Adam, you know, old guys like us, because unfortunately we're young no more. But enough there for the younger people as well to... if they didn't understand it, it didn't really matter, because it just kept the continuity going. Now, Capaldi's new Doctor...
Go on.
...started off as a tramp, as the... Well, in the restaurant as well, in the smelly... Then, suddenly, at the end, there he was, in the outfit. And, by God, does that outfit look good. It is sharp.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. because it's his own persona. Each Doctor definitely has an image, something portrayed, and it's all different. And suddenly he's there, having gone out the basically the almost like a bed sheet, the tramp's coat. Then there he is, saving Clara, and there he is, in the coat, in the boot, in the trousers, and that is going to be the 12th Doctor. You know, let's ignore numbering. You know, forget about it. But that is a 12th Doctor persona, and it's that there he is. Okay, so how did he get there? Well, again, it was Clara. Gerald Coleman really carried the story for the first, probably the first three quarters, because she was the lead character then. Okay, you had the gang there, the Passenotti gang. Oh, yeah, that kiss. Oh, my life. Ah, I tell you what, Slash Fiction is going to go berserk over that. I will not say a single word about myself. Enough said. Clara was strong enough to carry the story forward, because it was, in a way, she was the main character then. The Doctor was mere subsidiary character, because she was in the background. He wasn't there most of the time until the end. So it's a great tribute to Clara, to Jenna Coleman's character, to her acting ability. She was able to carry it forward and keep the audience going and keep us taking forward and understand what was going on. Now, the bit with the paper, with the impossible girl, didn't spot that. I really did not spot that, which is in the paper over. But what a great way of doing it. Whoever dreamed that up, that's pure genius, that's it. And then actually going into the restaurant, and there she's sitting there, and she's looking down, and suddenly, and there he is. Because that's a motif that kept going. It was people appeared like, I don't know if you quite heard that. It's me trying to snap your fingers in front of the microphone. It might work, might not again. Yay. I then put a sound effect in here, please. Thank you.
No, I'll leave it as it is.
But the fact that suddenly things would change, so the waiter was there. And then suddenly the maitre d'hote was there. Because I think that's what they call him. You know, the guy who was part robot, part human. The way people kept jumping into it. Very, very cleverly done. Now, what did the story do overall? Well, what I love, the fact that the very beginning of the story, that was right by where I worked. Seriously, I worked by Blackfriars Bridge. That was all set. I could look down from my office window and see all that. Oh, 5 years ago, that could have been me. Yay.
I think Mary might.
I could have been starring Doctor Who. Not never going to be there, but...
Sorry, Kirby.
So what? But the Doctor's coming out of the TARDIS, not knowing who he is, not recognising people. It's regeneration, discontinuity. I think that's the best way of looking at it. But it's very cleverly done.
Right, I'm going to pause it there, because we're getting to the stage where Kirby and Mary might have to leave. So obviously, yes, you can listen to the rest of the feedback on the show in a minute. But thank you, Kirby. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you for breaking it so we could say goodbye.
Well, I thought that might be only polite.
Otherwise, we would just disappear on you.
Yes, exactly. You don't want that to happen, do we?
I've got a presentation to make it work in an hour and a half, so I do need to get moving.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you very much. See you again next week. Probably this Sunday.
It was so nice talking with you, with Reese and with Matthew.
It was.
Along with Kirby and Debbie and Adam.
Yeah. Hopefully we will see those two next week too.
And we're doing it on Sunday?
Hopefully. At the moment, Sunday, until something crops up.
I should be back from my travels. I'm aiming to be back on the island by 7.
I don't know if Sunday will work or not, because I don't know what my schedule is going to be on Sunday.
Okay, well, cross
Mondays are better for me right now.
Okay. Well, if it's Monday, it's Monday. If it's Sunday, it's Sunday. Well, maybe we'll iron that part of the plan out a bit nearer the time. But anyway, thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for
being
on the show.
Bye.
See you again.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
Yeah, goodbye. Right, then moving back on to part two of Andy's feedback.
Because you can see he's confused, but he's got knowledge there somewhere. He knows who the people are. He can't quite relate to who they really are in real life. So he knows there's a Clara, he knows there's a Strax, he knows a Jastrine, there's a Jenny, because they're all mixed up. But he's going to pick it up suddenly. You know that. I mean, the classic one for that, I suppose, is Davison. When his first story, look at Cashavalva. You can look at Cashavalva in a way, there's a lot of similarity between the post-regeneration discontinuity, discombobulation. There's a lot of similarity there as well. So, yes, I think that built very well on that.
He was drinking while you paused.
So, the dinosaur. In a way, the dinosaur was a red herring. It could have been anything. but it had to be something to set up this part robot, part human. You needed something to keep it going to set the story up, and that's what the dinosaur was. And after a while, the dinosaur disappeared. I mean, who remembers the dinosaur? Anyway, the dinosaur became part of history. Never remembered it. It's the ability of the human species to forget about things. So that was a good piece as well. Now, the Passenger Gang. Yep. Again, it's the same again. You've got the really strong lead character, Banavastra. You've got an able deputy, Jenny. And you've got the comedy turn, Strax. But again, even Strax did it well. The bit where they're all holding their breath and he couldn't quite do it. I'll ignore the kiss. I mean, I've done that already. Okay, that's my... yeah, that's my private fantasy. We'll forget about that. But he was very clever the way he couldn't do it, and he was trying to bring the gun up. And at the end, they all fell over. Why did they fall over? You understood why. Now, how many people here thought Red Dwarf? Hudson.
Yes. When? Hudson.
Promised Land. Android
no,
Heaven.
Silicon Heaven.
Oh.
Sorry, it hit me straight away. That's what it could have been. But again, it's very cleverly worked, because... what they've let it open there is, will they bring him back?
Yeah.
Because it's never properly explained what it is, who he is, what the Promised Land represents. I think we're talking about another Bad Wolf here, where they've set something up, people are thinking about it, it's in the back of people's minds. What is the Promised Land? And I do think it's going to go along. Some will crop up at the end of the series, either episode 12 or the Christmas special, and I think it'll turn full circle, and that's where it'll come in.
You stink, mate.
So at the end of the day, how good a story was it?
Magic, not Andy.
Well, that's not the longest regenerated story we've ever had. Hour 20? God, that was long. Lot packed in. Sometimes it went really slow. But what you've got is a Doctor who, he recognises where his abilities are. He knows his strong points are. I mean, the bit of the eyebrows, yes, I mean, he is... me, I'm a monobrow man myself. I've got big eyebrows. But he's going to play on that. And the eyes begin. I mean, the title sequence I thought was tremendous. I really did. Because that's something different. That's something new. And having the clockwork wheels. And then the eyes coming up. They're going to build on that. And I think the final thing I would say was, the people in the restaurant going tick, 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 tick. I thought, go in the fireplace. The clockwork people.
Yes.
Okay, probably wrong. Happy to overruled. Overall, yes.
Oh dear.
The news was in this morning in the broadsheets, the Times and the Telegraph. They've all loved it. What I heard last night, a brief bit on Facebook after I came out of the cricket. You bet!
Ow.
Everyone thought it was good.
The speaker stayed on that time.
He started off well. Got a strong Doctor. But there's still a lot of mystery there. And also, you've got Clara. She's reinventing herself. The impossible girl has come back again. So, okay, Adam, I've rebelled on for 9.5 minutes
yes,
nearly now.
Have.
So, Ben, know that snoring. Kirby's probably gone to sleep to talk about cricket.
No, he's gone.
Because he'll probably throw things at it. But, yeah.
Wow.
So, next week, it's Star Trek Into Darkness.
Yes,
yes.
Yeah,
yes, thank you, Andy. That was Andy Nunny, everyone.
Yay!
Oh, underwhelming reaction there. I don't know. We still got left. I was Reese. Are you still
Matthew?
There, Matthew?
Yeah, I'm still.
Yeah,
well done,
still
well
here.
Done, both of you for lasting that one out. We've got one little bit of feedback left.
Is Ian?
Don't give the game away. Grief.
Oh. Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast, this is Ian Kirk. Deep Breath by Stephen Moffat. The Doctor is regenerated, and Clara says she does not know who he is anymore. When I got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me. Some fans have compared Stephen Moffat unkindly with Russell T. Davies, saying Moffat's scripts have overcomplicated plots and shallow characters, while Davies has simple plots and characters with rich emotions. Moffat seems to have taken this to heart in this story. The plot is simple. The Doctor and companions fight nasty creatures and defeat them. It is all about emotions. The way the Doctor feels. The way Vastra feels. The way the dinosaur feels. The chief robot is the only one with a complete face, to remind us he is a robot. I suppose this is called deep breath to indicate the series is going to be hectic. Also, there is holding of breath in this story. The actor who plays the vagrant was Liz Sladen's husband.
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm.
Jenny mentions the Paternoster larder, and at the end they end up in the robot's larder. There is a Moffaty bit at the end, with the appearance of Missy. She's a mysterious character, as was Madame Covarian, the eyepatch lady.
There was a lot of similarity.
She claims to be in heaven, which reminds me of where River Song ended up, in a computer-generated afterlife.
Mm.
Also, the way she refers to the Doctor as my boyfriend is reminiscent of River.
Her husband, though.
Mm.
The robots have been secretly killing people and do the same with the dinosaur. I think they could have been hailed as heroes if they had openly killed the dinosaur. Perhaps they did not want the publicity. Perhaps Robert Haynes is back with us for this series.
No, he's not.
A madman with a box of twiglets. Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian. There we go. That's great. Right, so obviously we've managed to cram quite a lot into this episode. Unfortunately, not going to be able to cram news or anything like that into it because we've run out of time.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to thank... you and Reese, Matthew and Reese. Reese and Matthew.
Hang on, one
bit of news. Hang on, Reese, sorry. Reese has come up with a piece of news.
This is for... Yes, I've got a piece of news. This is for my fellow Australian fans. They're going to be showing every episode at 5 in the morning.
Oh, what great timing. Sorry.
For the rest of the series. Whatever you want to call it.
Great timing.
Yeah.
No, thank you for that.
There you go, Billy.
Yes, yeah, thank you both for coming on the show. It's been lovely to have you back, hasn't it, Debbie?
Yes, it has been brilliant. Even nice to meet you.
Even though, exactly. but as I say, I'm not quite sure about next week. It will be easier for Monday for me, to be honest with you. But if
same here, I'll be
I
back.
I don't know whether Mary can do it.
We'll see.
But,
yes, Matthew as well. Matthew's easier for Matthew.
Yes, and like I said, that sort of underscores what I was just saying. But apart from that, thanks.
Thank you very much.
Hopefully, see you next week.
Yay.
Indeed.
Fingers crossed. And hopefully another good episode.
I can go ahead and review next week since I've already seen it.
Yeah.
Oh, God. No, don't do that. Anyway. Yes.
Spoilers.
Yes, indeed. So, until next week, thank you for listening to the show. Tutty bye.
Bye.
So long and thanks for all the fish.
That's what I was waiting for.
Copyright Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.